Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePaul here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White,
Byron Man
from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot, don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Yes, yes. 646-595-4038. Once again, that number is 646-595-4038. And yet again, you're listening to another episode of Real Talk, the Director, and the Jedi Council. I'm the Director, in case you did not know. I will be here with you for the next 90 minutes or so. And welcome back for another edition, another week, another Monday, another weekend of movies and television and everything in between. This is my first week back. Last week we were not on. I was under the weather. The weather here in New York is still not up to par for springtime. And I don't know, I caught some sort of virus, stomach virus, and I was done. I give a lot of respect to people like Michael Jordan, who played basketball with a stomach virus, and Kobe Bryant and all that. And they're throwing up on the sidelines. Man, I couldn't even get out of my bed except to go to the bathroom to vomit. That was it. And these boys playing basketball professionally. And still, and Jordan dropped like 65 points or something like that, or 55 or something like that he did on the Knicks. So anyway, I'm back. Full effect. And, yeah, man, so this week we'll be talking about the top 10 best, top five. We're back to on our top five-ish, and we're going to be doing the top five best car movies ever. You got to put the down. I guess it's supposed to be simulating a car noise or something. I don't know. Anyway, you know, in honor of the Fast and Furious 7 that came out over the weekend. It's a big, big box office reception, which everyone kind of predicted that. So we'll go into that in a second with the weekend recap. But in line of that, what we want to do is we're counting down. Right now we want people to call with their top five best car movies ever. So, if you, and this really pertains to any movie where the car was the main theme of the film. Car was the main theme. Car was a character in the film. Whatever you want it to be. But that's what this is all about. That's what this main theme is about. it has to be about the car has to be worked into the theme of the film. So, you know, so it can't be, you know, James Bond movie. That's a James Bond movie. Even though James Bond got some awesome cars in this movie, you can't even consider it a car movie. You know, so Smokey and the Bandit, that might be considered a car movie because, you know, that car was almost like a character in the film. It was a car, though, almost the whole film, chasing them. So, it's one of my favorites. I don't know if that's on my top five, but it's definitely an honorable mention of mine. So anyhow, Real Talk is brought to you every week by Dollhouse Radio, sponsored by Dollhouse Radio and Dave Morrell. And brought to you live via the internet, blogtalkradio.com. Well, I'm not alone. I have my Jedi Council with me. Would you like to meet them? Here they go. Jedi Counselor Ralph and Kev, you're in the building.
What's good?
What's going on, man? I'm mad at you, Wes. You gave me your Ebola virus. You gave me your Ebola virus through text messages.
Through text message. Oh, my God. That's how strong it was, man. It must have been that potent because, everybody in my house had it. It was just like, oh, man. And I never get sick like that. And it was terrible, man. It was terrible. And I said, well, Michael Jordan played and dropped 50-something points while he had a stomach virus on the sidelines, throwing up, had a fever. I had all the symptoms, but I damn sure wasn't moving like he was. I had all the symptoms. I couldn't even get out of bed. This guy dropping 50-something points. I got to respect that. So top five best car movies ever.
All right, I have a question. I got a question. All right. Now, you just said the car has to be the central theme in the movie, right? So,
yeah.
With that being said, would Back to the Future count as a car movie?
Yeah. Because
you can't do none of that stuff without the car.
Yeah. I thought about that. Yeah, in a way it could. In a way it could. I wouldn't count it only because, it's more of a time travel movie than it is a car movie. So.
Yeah, but time travel is only possible because of the car.
Yes. Well, no, not really. He just decided to make it a car. He could have made anything. He could have made a time machine out of anything. Because as you see, he made it out of a train at the end of the series. So it's just he decided to make it a car because it's cooler. So if Doc Brown decided to make a time machine, he invented a time machine, it would never go anywhere without the flux capacitor. And the car was just the vehicle, no pun intended, of getting around, of making the time machine work. But as he proved at the end of the series, of the end of the trilogy, he could make it out of anything. He made it out of a train. So that's why it's a time travel movie, more so than it's a car movie, in my opinion. But
okay.
I get what you're saying. I mean, it could go for a lot. I mean, like I said, just for, you know, there's other movies out there where the cars are in the theme, but I wouldn't put Back to the Future there because, like I said, because of that factor, it's more of a time travel movie.
See, because I was like, okay, but now I'm thinking like, well, what, like, when you first said, I was like, are we going to talk like, not in addition like top five car movies, but like, top five cars that's in movies where, you know, like you said, like the Bond car, like we had, like I would definitely throw
right.
James Bond's car
yeah.
in into onto that side.
Right, you would.
But I was like,
That's why I wanted to put that out there because I think that would be too much, you know, for us to be able to push it all in because then you got a lot. Now you're talking about a lot of different movies.
Yeah, like the Batmobile got to go up there. You got to throw the Batmobile.
Right, exactly.
But which Batmobile do you throw up there?
What shit, idiot.
Which Batmobile do you throw up there?
To me, the best Batmobile to me was the one in the original Batman movie in 85 or whatever, when with the shields and all that stuff over it. Like, that was dope.
Yeah, I know, man, but the tumbler.
It had the shield. I didn't like the tumbler. I wasn't too. I was okay with it because it was more realistic, so to speak. But I liked the less realistic Batmobile, the one that was in the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton one. I like that Batmobile. That Batmobile was high.
Yeah, that Batmobile was tough, but the tumbler, man. It's a Ferrari engine with the. It was just like, which one do you go with?
That was dope. I mean, I go with my opinion as far as Batmobile is the one that's in Batman, Keaton Batman, first one. But hey, to each his own. You know how that go. I know. You know, it's just obviously in. This is obviously brought to light in honor of the opening of Furious 7. I'm sure a lot of people went to see it, and actually I did not. and that's a good segue. Before we move forward, I'm going to go over this weekend recap. And we all know what dominated the weekend, and that was, in fact, Furious 7, Universal Pictures. $147 million weekend gross. First weekend. So, that second runner-up is Home. Made $27 million. Home was that? Was that an animated flick or something? Looks like.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
Animated flick. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, Rihanna and the dude from Big Bang Theory. $27 million, second week. Get Hard on the third, comes in third. His second week, it made $13 million. Get Hard is at $57 million right now, domestically. After 2 weeks, it's not bad at all. Cinderella at number four. And the Divergent series, Insurgent, number five, $10 million apiece. Both of them. One was $10 million, $17 million. The other one, $10 million, $178 million. Then it was $10 million, $126 million. So, there you go. Now, I don't usually go past five, but number six is the movie It Follows.
Very good flip. Oh my God.
Four weeks. I didn't know it was out that long. 4 weeks? Week number four. About.
And the number should be growing on that.
4 weeks. Nah, it's only made $8 million.
But each week it probably grew more and more.
No, but I mean, it's only made $8 million as of today, to date. And it's been out for 4 weeks.
Because it came from a film festival. It wasn't even like it wasn't really advertised. It only started being advertised about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week after it was released. It started being advertised, so it came from a film festival.
Well, yeah, because the limited release weekend was March 13th, and then the wide release was March 27th. Limited opening, it was only in four theaters. And then wide opening, it opened in 1,200 theaters. So, I mean, it's not really, like I said, maybe because of the way they didn't promote it. Now, if this is I don't know anything about the production on this, but if it's a independent film,
it's definitely,
then, you know.
If it's an independent film,
then that's good. That's good.
And I can tell you this much. It was definitely shot on a budget of maybe, I would say, just from what I saw, I would say that budget was probably, because I think one of the people in there was from Game of Thrones, and I think there was maybe one other person in there that was, like, from a known show. So I'm figuring their budget was somewhere between, I don't know, maybe $900,000 and maybe $1.5 million, somewhere in that range. $1.5 million and maybe $1,000. So they.
Well, I mean, everyone knows those horror films are the cheapest to make. You can use less amount of money making a horror film than you are making any other type of film. And they pay off better because, you know, no matter how bad or no matter how independent or even how cheesy a horror film may look, you have diehard horror fans that's going to see the film if they feel they could get a scare from it.
Straight to DVD.
Doesn't matter which way. So, the production company is called Radius. Radius.
Mm-hmm.
TWC.
Watch it twice.
Huh? What'd you say?
I saw it twice.
Really? It was good?
Yeah, I loved it.
You contributed to that $8 million. Let me ask a question.
I'm serious. What is the last movie you legitimately paid twice to go see on the big screen? Not, you know, you bought it, you know, you saw it in the movie theater, then you bought the DVD. I mean, I guess we all do that. But what movie did you see that was so great that you actually paid twice that $14, $19 ticket at the Lowe's 42nd Street to see it twice on the big screen?
Avengers.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I saw it three times.
Oh, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. No, I didn't see that twice.
Hold on a second. Did you legitimately pay three times to see Guardians of the Galaxy, or... Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. It's been almost a year since I movie hopped.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Did you do the two-for-one special?
No, it's literally been almost a year since I movie hopped. I spend so much money on movies that my rewards points are sick between Regal and AMC. So I pretty much either get discounted tickets, free tickets, like the crap that happened with me when I went to go see Lazarus Effect, and they canceled the movie and put in that Will Smith movie in its place. And I got two free movie tickets from that.
That happened to me before. I went to go see some movie, and the further thing, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Men in Black 3. I went to see it. They were having an event, and something happened with the sound, so they had to cancel the screening, and they gave everybody like seven free tickets to the movie.
Yeah, but there's a couple movies that I actually went out and I saw twice. That I actually paid for to see twice.
For me, the last movie I did that with was definitely The Avengers. I think that was the last movie I went back, paid to go see it again. I think that was it. I can't think of nothing else. I'm trying to think.
I think the last movie I legitimately paid twice. I know exactly what the last movie I legitimately paid twice to see was Star Trek Into Darkness. That's the last movie I paid twice to go see. Only because I went with other people. I saw it by myself. Yeah. And then I took two girls to go see it, so that was the last one. Yeah, that's right. I took two different girls to see Star Trek. I didn't want to go see Star Trek.
I saw it follows in the city at AMC. And then the second time I saw it in Limbrook because it just got released, not last week, the week before last. It got released on, you know, that's when it got released to all the other theaters.
That was the wide release, yeah, 27th. was the wide release. The first one was the limited release. Well, I mean, now, you know, that particular production company or studio put out quite a bit of films, but none of them that I really recognize, but this is definitely their highest grossing film so far.
And it was shot, I'll tell you this much, well, you would appreciate how it was shot. I mean, it was shot well. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but they actually, for like the first 30 minutes, me and the person that I went with, me and her both was looking like, where the hell did they shoot this at? Because they removed license plates. Like, they did everything they could possible to keep you from knowing where they shot this at. Because the actual background of the film, well, the actual, all the backgrounds, the buildings, the houses, that almost played like a character in a film because they tried to give it this dated feel, like from the 80s. Which worked. And they shot it in Detroit. And I realized that midway through the film because of another YouTube video that I saw of this guy that was traveling through Detroit and some of the houses looked familiar. I was like, oh, they shot this in Detroit. And sure enough, like when I went back to see it the second time, there were other signs that told me they shot in Detroit. Like they showed one street sign that said 12 Mile Road. I think Detroit is the only place that has streets that are named by miles.
Like so. Yeah. Well, so I think...
It was very gritty. It was just a good film. They shot it really well. I mean, the acting was but it was shot really well.
I think the thing with these horror films, what I don't want to see, like, for instance, and I don't want to get on that because we're going to talk about stuff like that on another show, but like, you know, they're remaking Poltergeist, and I'm a watcher. Poltergeist will probably be one of the first horror films that I go see in a while, because I don't really go to see horror films anymore, because they don't interest me as much as they used to. I guess I'm just really used to the older style of horror with the slasher kind of films, stuff like that. But, you know, what I am hoping is, I see what they're trying to do with Poltergeist, and it might be, you know, pretty good, what they're doing. But the one thing I've already seen in the trailers that I don't like is, you know, every movie, especially if it has something to do with, when Poltergeist obviously is a paranormal movie, but now they do the same thing with every movie. They try to make it like Paranormal Activities, and I've been snatched up and dragged somewhere and stuff like that. I'm like, that's kind of corny now. Like, they keep showing that on every type of movie now. It's like, oh, blah, they get snatched away somewhere, and it's like, okay, enough is enough. All right, we know. But if you're going to remake this movie, don't throw a bunch of that garbage in there, please. Even though it is a paranormal movie, we know that. But this is a movie that's already been out there. This is a movie that had a lot of crazy stuff going on in it anyway. Adding those little, where they get jerked off the screen all quick, that's not going to make it any scarier, all right, in my opinion. You know, people think now that they can just jerk a few people out the camera, and everyone's going to be screaming to the top of their lungs. No, let's not get away from the whole premise of the film. Let's not get away from the spooky, creepy things that was already in the film. Like, what it looks like what they're doing with the clown thing, that looks like it's going to be good, what they're doing with the clown toy that ended up, you know, choking out the boy. You know, it looks like, I saw the preview, they had the clown, like, moving around, you hear him running, and then he's sitting down. Okay, that might be cool. They're going to change that up a little bit because you've got the technology to do it. So I agree with stuff like that. I agree with that. Huh?
This movie is going to suck.
It is. I'm sorry. It is. I'm sick of people.
I think it's going to, not to cut you guys off, but I think it's going to suck because they're trying too much. Their way of quote unquote modernizing it is going to be basically turn it into another one of those, you know, paranormal films where people's you know, bodies are getting snatched out of the screen and dragged up the stairs and dragged across the floor. It's not scary anymore. Like when they first started doing that, to me, okay, it went over well because people weren't used to that type of.
They've been doing it for a while. That technique is not really new. It's been done for a while, but it's just been done.
I know.
And not so popularized movies. It was done way before Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, I mean they have, but Paranormal Activity kind of made it. Yeah, I know.
They did that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Paranormal Activity kind of really sensationalized it. You know what I'm saying? And at that point, every movie that was being put out was starting to be being done like that. And all those other movies. So my point is, that technique to me is, no pun intended, dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should figure something else out. And I don't know. I agree with you guys. I think this movie is not going to be good because I think they're trying too hard to, quote-unquote, make it like a modern-day movie of today when you could, but I think they're just trying too hard.
The bottom line, the reason why it's going to suck is because, A, they learned their lesson from the last movie from messing around with that stuff. You notice how they changed the name. The girl is not called Carol Ann anymore. They changed the name of just about all of the characters. They changed the name. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff that was attached to all three of those films, and I'm talking about the real stuff that was attached to those films, like stuff crashing on set. You know, there was some stuff going on with the original Poltergeist. Then the
people dying and
then,
shit.
Then Caroline dying.
The Indian guy died.
Yeah, the Indian guy died. There were a lot of people who died off the set.
The other sister died. I'm like, I wouldn't even want to be in a movie called Poltergeist.
Well, that's why they probably changed it up. They probably changed the area they shot it in. And there's no creep factor.
Well, the funny thing is to me, and this is then we're gonna get back on topic. But my thing I gotta say about it is one reason why, in my opinion, that it's going to suck is the one thing that Poltergeist had that a lot of horror films, well back then they did, but a lot of horror films miss is the acting in Poltergeist was really good. The acting was good between the family and the way they were. You know, like you could feel like those actors did a good job because you could feel the love between that family. You know what I'm saying? When they were going through what they were going through in Poltergeist, I think the acting was excellent in that film.
And I just don't think
you're going to get that.
and that's the key point with 90% of horror films. That's the key point of why they don't work. The reason why The Conjuring worked is because the acting was good. You had some seasoned acting in there, some seasoned actors in there, and they performed.
Yeah.
This wasn't like just some running around screaming at the top of your lungs with somebody chasing you. There was actual acting in it. You know what I'm saying? It made it believable. That's the problem with a lot of these horror films nowadays. They're not made believable. There's nothing believable about them. It's almost like they're purposely trying to get you to think like, no, nothing like this could really happen. But anyway,
moving right along. So back to the topic at hand. Sorry about that, people. I just had to bring that up. Also, there's a new Avengers trailer out online that people can see. There's a couple of new scenes in it. And everyone's waiting for that. You know, that movie is going to be awesome.
Three weeks.
Top five. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's it. Top five best car movies ever. So, you guys, I'm sure you guys have your lists ready to rock. And anything comes to mind, I tell you, there's a couple of my lists, and we'll jump right into it. I got a couple of classics in mind, man, in my list. Because the funny thing is, I watched car movies when I was younger. But I don't really get into car movies anymore. You know what I mean? So I never really got into the Fast and Furious series. I saw the first film. Then I didn't see a film in that series until The Rock came into it, which was, I think, Fast Five. So I skipped all the ones in between. That one. So, and I only watched it because The Rock was in it.
So, wow.
Yeah, I was really into those movies. I'm not really into it, but...
The worst of the series was Tokyo Drift.
Everyone tells me that movie,
it was the worst movie out of all of them.
Everyone tells me that. That's true. It sounds worse than the whole series. But, you know, I tried this weekend because I was pretty much trying to finish recovering and relaxing. And this weekend, I tried to watch it. And I fell asleep. I wasn't interested. I was trying to watch the movies again. I was going to catch up with the second one. I was going to try to watch them all just to get familiar with. Because I know that there's a character from pretty much each one of them, you know, in Fast Five and the other ones and stuff like that. And in this one. So I was just trying to catch up that way, but didn't work. No go. So anyhow, let's begin. Then we'll take a call or two. Let's start off with Ralph.
You gotta get back to me because I have four, but I really am racking my brain to try to find a fifth one where the car is the story. I mean, like I said, we can't throw Back to the Future in there, right?
No.
I definitely can't throw the Transformers up in there.
I mean,
No, you can't. I also would say
robots that turn into cars.
I can't really throw Batman in there. Even though in the Bond movies, you know, there was a nice car in the movie, but they're not the focus. And I can't even throw. I started thinking myself, damn, what about Mad Max? Because he had a damn good car. Nope, can't throw that up in there. I'm kind of like
you could throw Mad Max in there, but you can't throw Beyond the Thunderdome in there.
Well, you would throw, if anything, you would throw the Road Warrior in there.
Yeah, the Road Warrior.
You know, at least until the new one comes out. I think that's going to be a different story when the new one comes out.
Well, that's going to be ridiculous.
It is going to be ridiculous. I am so looking forward to that.
All right, well, I'll start off, and then we'll go to Kev. So, mine are, okay, so... Number five, I'm just going to go with number five. Very classic car film. Popular car. And my number five is Vanishing Point. That was one of the first, like, car films that I kind of was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Now, I didn't see it when it first came out. It came out in the 70s. But, you know, I know that Dodge Challenger car, the white car, that was pretty. And then it was actually appeared in one of my other films that's in the list, a little further up the list. So number five was Vanishing Point. Number four for me is
See, it ain't so easy, is it?
No, it is. I'm just trying to rearrange it properly. Okay, my number four. Okay, number four for me is the Cannonball Run. Cannonball Run with all the different cars in there. It was just a fun movie. Everybody loved that movie when it came out. I mean, you can put either one in there, one or two, but I'm going with one, I think. Go with the Cannonball Run, number one. That one is in there for me. That was one of my favorite films, like, ever. back then. Let's watch it now. Okay, I'm going to go with number three was Gone in 60 Seconds. Number three for me is Gone in 60 Seconds. I enjoyed that film. I love Angelina Jolie. I love the way she looked at it. Nicolas Cage is just awesome. Nicolas Cage is, like, not a great actor. He's pretty good. Not a great actor, but he's a good actor. He's just an awesome dude. An awesome actor. So that's number three is Gone in 60 Seconds for me. Number two, and these are the ones that I'm going back and forth with, my most recent probably film that I really love. I'm going to go with that one on number one. Number two for me is The Wraith, Charlie Sheen. That film was just, when it came out, it was just freaking awesome. Me and my cousin Anthony, man, we used to watch that film so much, The Wraith. There was another film that Charlie Sheen was in with a car called The Chase, which was a car because of the fact that the whole movie took place in a car. my number one film is Death Proof by Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof. That was, to me, just one of the most awesome things that you could do with a car.
I love that movie.
Dude,
I love
driving around, killing people with his car. Stuntman Mike, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, yeah, first of all, that movie, you can't be a freaking, in my opinion now, and it's not to ridicule anybody, but you can't be a man and not like that film, man. That film is made for men. It's got
Which film is this again? My phone dropped out. I'm sorry.
Death Proof. Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah.
The Grindhouse.
Yeah.
That film was made for men. It has hot cars in it. It's got the car from Vanishing Point was in there. Like I said, Vanishing Point was my number five. And then the car from it, Quentin Tarantino being the great, always playing homage to classic films, he paid homage to Vanishing Point by having a car that looked like the Vanishing Point car in that film, in Death Proof. Then you had the car that Stuntman Mike was driving. So you had hot cars, hot women, and great action, nice car chase. What else can you ask for as a man? I mean, that film had Rosario Dawson. It had Tracy Tom, Vanessa Ferlito, and in my opinion, one of the greatest lap dance scenes in a movie on screen, when she came to that lap dance in that bar. That was a beautiful scene. Vanessa Ferlito, whatever her name is, or something Ferlito, I think her name is. Also, Sidney Poitier's daughter was in that film. Her name is Sidney Poitier. she was in the film. You had, who else was in that film?
Zoe Bell.
Zoe Bell is in the film. I mean, it was a hot film, you know. Then you throw in Rosario. I already said that. Throw in Rose McGowan if people like her. You know, it was just a hot film. So to me, that's my number one. And, you know, it may be. And I had to skip over because, like I said, I never got into the Fast and the Furious, so I'm not gonna put them in my list naturally. So, Vanishing Point. The Cannonball Run, the Wraith, I mean, Gone in 60 Seconds, The Wraith, And then, of course, Death Proof. That's my list. So, Kev, what you got?
All right, here we go. I'm trying to figure whether I should start from the top or the bottom. I guess I'll start from the top. I'm going to start with my honorable mention. My honorable mention is Fast and Furious 6. That was the best to me of the series. That was the best of the Fast and Furious series. Actually, 5 and 6 was pretty good. 7 was perfect. We'll get into a review about 7 later. 7 was good because it really closed. It closed well. But out of that whole series, Fast and Furious 5 and 6, those are my honorable mentions as a group. Now, getting down to my top 5, I guess I'm going to start from the top. There's a tie place in the top. And only reason why it's a tie, because both of these are my favorite comedy movies. Wes, you already mentioned them. The Cannonball Run.
The movie is so awesome.
It's just a funny, it's a classic comedy, man. It's just funny. Don DeLuise. Listen.
You guys said we all start laughing. As soon as you said Don DeLuise, everyone starts laughing. Yo, that movie was awesome.
Listen,
talk about this dude, him and Burt Reynolds, their on-screen chemistry, it's hilarious. With him,
it was ridiculous.
Remember he kept slapping him in the neck. That was the first movie that I ever saw that showed the bloopers, the outtakes at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Where you wanted to sit around and watch the credits because it showed all the outtakes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
If that movie is not on your favorite car movie list, then you are not a car movie fan. Because that movie,
that is hilarious, man.
I mean, you got Sammy Davis Jr. It was so many people in this movie.
So many people in that. It was the, you know, like, you know how you see, like, Ocean's 11, you have all these people in them and stuff like that. Like, that's what this film is just, it's a who's who in film.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many stars in it. Like you said, Sam Davis Jr. And then,
Dean Martin.
And then in the second one, what do you call it, made a cameo, right? That was the second one, I think.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra.
From the Rat Pack. Frank Sinatra. Yeah, he's like, Frankie, baby. He's like, Frankie, baby. You know what I'm saying? He's driving in his car. He made a quick cameo. I mean, everyone in that film, man. Who was it? Was it Farrah Fawcett in that film?
Yeah. Shirley MacLaine was in the movie.
Jackie Chan was in one with wasn't he in the one with the
He's in
both. They had the car that went underwater.
Yeah.
And the dude who played Jaws, right? Wasn't he in it too?
Yep. He was in it too. As a matter of fact, the Cannonball, what's funny about the Cannonball Run also starred a lot of people that played in Bond films. You had Jaws, and then you had the other guy who played, he played the sheriff in Diamonds Are Forever.
Tony Savalas is in the movie. I mean, he's in one of the Bond movies. You got Roger Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot
Roger
of folks.
Moore. Yeah. There was a lot of them. The Cannonball Run was just so awesome. Burt Reynolds was just—he was a man. And my honorable mention—I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt your thing—but my honorable mention also is Smokey and the Bandit. Go ahead.
Yeah,
because I used to love that film.
Smokey and the Bandit itself is just my favorite because my favorite car around that time period was a black and gold Transit Pontiac Grand Van Firebird. I mean. Listen, that was if you had toy cars back in the day.
Yeah, you had to have that one.
You had to have that one. And I'm not talking about the little matchbox one either. I'm talking about the full scale 6x5. It is sometimes it was in plastic, sometimes it was in metal with the real rubber wheels and the doors opened, the hood opened up. Everything was nice. It had the tan interior. The peanut butter interior because it wasn't tan. It was peanut butter color.
Yeah.
Interior.
So what's your time for number one? Was it Smokey and Bandit or no?
No.
What's your number one time?
Huh?
You said you was going from the top, right? So you had Cannonball Run. That's tied with something.
I went from the top five to one.
Oh, 5 to 1. Okay.
Next up, the rest of these are all horror. Actually, I'm gonna go with my next one, and you guys are not gonna agree with this, but I'm agreeing with it because A, it's Stallone. B, it's Cobra. That car was the baddest car in a film ever. That 1950.
Yeah, but so you going now? You're using the same thing. You're using car in a film, but not car film.
Well, it was well,
Cobra wasn't a car film. It was a great car in that film.
But the car was a main character in the film. That's the only reason why I included it, because the car was a character in the film. Because about 80% of the film, he was in the car. All of his action scenes were in that car. Mm. Even though I know the movie was more so about him being the rogue cop, but the car was literally a central character in the film. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's the same thing with the Back to the Future movies. I mean, like, particularly the second one. I mean,
all right. I'll kick it off my list. You know what I don't want to do. I'll slide it off my list.
I'll keep Cannonball Run in there.
So Cannonball Run will be four. Number three, Wes, you already spoke on this one. This is my, when I finally found this movie on DVD. I watched it like 10 times. The Wraith. Back in the day, I was a huge Mopar fan. First of all, anybody knows anything about Mopar is Dodge and Chrysler. And
yeah,
that car, which was anybody who knows that was
Dodge. It was a Dodge
M4 Interceptor.
Dodge M4 Interceptor.
It was one of their concept cars, and that car was just looked sick. It was just crazy, and Charlie Sheen rocked that movie. I mean, he totally bombed it out. It was just awesome. That's one of those classic movies like The Last Starfighter. Like when it comes on, you see it on TV. You're locked in. Whatever you planned on doing, you're going to be late for it because you're going to sit down and watch it. Bottom line. All right, my number one car movie. Wes, I don't know if you're familiar with this. I'm pretty sure Ralph is. It is The Car from 1977. Classic horror thriller with a car.
Probably Christine.
No, the car. I know which one it is. It was like a devil car. It was like the devil possessed car.
Oh, the car?
I feel like this, Wes. You have to watch this movie. I still can't watch the movie in the house by myself in the dark. That movie is creepy. The car looks creepy. I feel like this. As a character, the car will remind you of the tall man from Fantastic.
You want to talk about creepy.
That's what the car is like. I mean, they set the car on fire. They tried blowing the car up. It just nothing would work until they drove the car went off a cliff and blew up midair. That's how they ended up destroying the car. But it was just creepy and awesome. And then the music that they were playing, like every time the car got ready to kill somebody, was just sick. It was just an awesome and creepy movie, and the car they used in that was a Lincoln Continental Mark III. It was just big, ugly, and just looked crazy. It was a beautiful car, but the way they presented it just looked ugly and creepy. And my last one, of course, is Christine. And that's my list.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the other Stephen King movie about the cars with the what was the name of that one?
Well, Maximum Overload?
What
was it? Where everything came alive?
Maximum Overdrive, yeah.
I thought about that one, but like
Trump
you said, it wasn't
freaking with the joke, I mean with the
The goblin, the
truck,
the hobgoblin.
The goblin had the goblin face on the front.
That was another creepy one. Another creepy one.
Okay, well, Christine, I definitely that was a great film. That one almost made my list because it was just to make a movie about a car. The fact that,
And then the creepy thing at the end, after the car gets crushed and compressed, it's starting to unbend itself.
That was crazy. That was crazy. That's right. It was made into a box, and then it's like it starts moving.
Yeah, the fenders, the custom fenders started bending back into place. I'm just like, you know what? I'm done.
Stephen King. Oh, by the way, speaking of Stephen King, sidebar. You know he signed on to write some episodes of The Walking Dead next season.
Oh, it's a wrap. Which one? The California one or the regular one?
I think the regular one.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah, we're about to see some
deaths.
That's
about to go someplace. That's about to go someplace really twisted.
Yeah. Well, you know, because they're bringing in Negan. Now, that character from the comic, he is... I bet you Stephen King writes some stuff for that character because he is about to come in. From the few things that I saw from the comic with him, oh, boy. Oh, boy. He about to put it like this. If he's anything like he is in the comic, he about to come and get tricked out.
Is he one of the wolves?
Huh? He's not one
of the wolves
either. Nope, he's not one of the wolves. He's just, this dude is like, take the governor times 10 and put them all together, and that's this dude.
That's
like,
not good.
As far as his, as far as like
that,
his.
That bodes well for nobody.
He's going to come in to the town, because they said they're going to pretty much all season, they're going to be in, maybe for the next couple seasons. They said. This is going to be the longest place that they're going to be at, probably, through all of the seasons at Alexandria. But I think he's going to come. He's just going to be, they're always accepting people in. He's going to come in and basically be like in part of the community. But he's really a crazy dude.
That
so everybody,
crazy.
Yeah. If Stephen King writes anything that has to do with him, it's gonna be this. And it makes sense because he's dark, very dark character. But he's we don't know it for after a little bit. But he's worse than the governor, way worse. The governor had some sort of.
The governor had mental issues. This dude that you're talking about sounds like he's perfectly normal, but he's just. Well adjusted to his craziness.
Yeah, exactly. The governor had a lot of issues. The governor.
Wow, he's just well adjusted to his craziness. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you know there's people that's like that. Like they're crazy.
Yeah.
I know. There are people that's like obsessed with The Walking Dead.
There's people that are so crazy that they're normal. Like. Their craziness is just normal, but you know not to mess with them because they just go there. Like, there. Like, they don't just
eat
the dog. They stomp the dog out and then drink the dog's blood and then look at it with a smile. Like, that kind of crazy.
Right, exactly. Well, that's Negan is like that, he'll be like, kind of like what they were going to do at Terminus, like, get everybody bent over and start slitting people's throats, like that type of, but he won't catch it in the damn trough. Just let him bleed out. He's wild out. You could just Google him. Just Google Walking Dead Negan. That's all you have to do. And you'll see how wild out he is, man. And I tell you, this dude's got some work on his hands. To play this character, he gotta really act it, man. He's gotta act, play this character. The guy who what's his name? Robert Pattinson. They're bringing him in to play this character.
Listen, he already looked pervy. He looks pervy. I was looking at some pictures of that.
He looks like a creep. Like, you know, like, yeah. When you look at him regular, he's not even looking like trying to look good. He looks like a creep, Robert Pattinson.
He's a paler version of Michael Jackson and creepy.
I was like,
wow.
He looks really creepy.
Ralph.
Wow, that's all I can say, man. That's all I can legitimately say is wow. I got no other words except wow.
You have no other words.
I got no other words except wow.
That's funny. That is funny.
But anyway, Rob, what's your call list, man?
All right, see, I got some honorable mentions because I was up for a while. I was at work today thinking about this thing, and it just happens when I found out the subject. I was walking in the movie section at Walmart, but it ain't shit. So it is shit, but it's not what I really need. I really need to walk through like an old school Blockbuster something. But I got a couple that I want to get honorable mentions to. I want to get a quick honorable mention to, and it was already talked about. I give Vanishing Point and Death Proof for the car because the car is a centralized story in the movie. Tracy Toms, man, yo, why didn't she blow up? I thought she would have been Tarantino's female version of Samuel L. Jackson after that.
I really thought she was like a female.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna give a quick shout out to Gone in 60 Seconds, even though I really didn't like the movie. The cars were the shit in it. I mean, it was okay. I'm just tired of Nicolas Cage with these dead man walk on. I'm just doing it to cut the check because I got the IRS money rolls. I mean, it just looked like he was just walking through it. He didn't put like no effort into it. And God's sake, stop all the time like Elvis. I'm gonna give a shout out to another movie that I don't think a lot of people saw, but it's actually one of Steven Spielberg's first movies, Duel. With Dennis Leary.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that one. Yeah, watch it, because it's basically like the one dude that's driving, like, I think he's like on a journey across country, and he's being stalked by someone in a tractor trailer that's like every time like he's driving, the tractor trailer's like running up on his ass and is driving him down. He loses him, and then somehow the guy finds him again. He's just like stalking him. It's like real creepy. Real creepy. And one I don't think a lot of people ever saw, but the car in it was bad as hell. Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill. I don't think a lot of people saw that one.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Yeah, he plays this kid, you know, this is like right after Star Wars came out, and he plays this guy that makes these customized cars, and he built this badass Corvette. And the car gets stolen. So he goes on this trip to find the car, and Annie Potts from Designer Women is in the movie. But at the end, like, he finds the car, and there's like this big chase through the desert in Las Vegas. If you see the car, you'd be like, oh, okay, I see why. But
sidebar on Mark Hamill. He just appeared recently on The Flash, and he was awesome as the. Was it the trickster?
The trickster.
Yeah, he did it. His character on there, the trickster, it was pretty cool. They had a couple of funny little, what they call them? They call them Easter eggs in there. Or it was like, you get in there and he says, first of all, he's using his Joker voice. Did you know he voices the Joker in some of the animated Batman animated shows? It used to be. Some of the movies and some of the games, he voiced the Joker. And he used his voice that was very close to that Joker voice. And also, so he's like, there was an imposter trickster in the show, supposedly. And then come to find out that they were together, they were working together, a younger trickster. And then he said to him, he's like, he finds out that it's his son. But the funny thing is, guess what he says to him? I am your father.
Now I got to start watching Flash. I'm going to wait till the DVD come out. I'm going to watch.
He said,
said, "You know why I, you know why I picked you?" Because he's like, "Why'd you pick me to replace you?" And blah blah blah. He was like, "Because something," he says to him, and then he says, "I am your father." That was so cool. I said, "Yo, I said these dudes is." I said, "Yo, I bet you Mark Hamill thought of that." He probably was like, "That'd be cool." And yeah,
wow.
So I just wanted to throw that little stuff. It's Mark Campbell. I thought it, you know, he did good at that show, man. He did good at that. He's starting to get himself out there again. Getting ready for this big.
Speaking of Mark Campbell, did you know that's him in Kingsman?
Yeah.
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 I did not know that when I saw it. I was looking. I was like, wait a minute. Where the hell was Mark Campbell at?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he looked real crazy in that.
He
looked so old. He looked so old in that. But he looked a little less old in this one. Also, when they first came to see him, he was playing around kind of like Hannibal Lecter. They had him behind a glass thing. And he looked less old in this one, just more sinister and stuff. But he looks to be in pretty good shape. I thought when I first saw him, I'm like, damn, he looks bad. I'm like, Mark Hamill looks terrible. Yeah, but he actually looks to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, overall.
Well, he's about to get popular again.
He's about to get it again, man. So yeah. Sorry about that, Ralph. I'm so glad. Okay.
But my top five car movies, I'm gonna go with number five. Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise. I'm putting this up there. Yeah, I'm putting this up there because at the time that came out, this is when I was really starting to find out about stock car racing, and there was a driver that I named Bill Elliott who drove the number 9 car. And this movie came out there, and it's one of the – I mean, it is a cheesy movie, but I just find it as one of the movies that no matter wherever I see it, I sit there and I watch it because I'm not only am I a movie guy, but I like the effect of sound.
Yes. And
this is the flip side to Top Gun. This is basically Top Gun on wheels.
Definitely. If you're not listening to that movie in THX or in some kind of Dolby sound, you are
forget
not
about it. Turn it off. Turn it off.
You're not enjoying it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, me personally, I liked it. I liked the movie. I loved the stock cars in it. I loved the stock cars, even though they were Chevy Illuminas. But I think about Bill Elliott driving that red Dodge or the dude Dale Earnhardt in the number 3 that he didn't even need it. He just knew, oh shit, that's the black number 3. We need to get out of his way. That's what I think of. My number 4. It's going to be American Graffiti with Richard Dreyfuss and Harrison Ford.
I definitely thought
that one because, you know, that's right. I think, you know, at that particular time, the car is a centralized focus because even back in – I mean, it's not so much nowadays because we have so much, but back in the 50s and 60s, most of your actions as a teen happened in the car. You know, you had sex for the first time in the backseat of the car. You went cruising down the road in the car. You know, you picked up chicks. Girls wanted to hang out with you because of your car. So that's why American Graffiti, to me, is on my list of car movies.
Yeah.
Number 3, we all said it, and I totally agree, The Cannonball Run. That movie, I don't care how many times I've seen it, I'm always fucking laughing.
Yeah.
I'm literally dying. even Don DeLuise. And you know what? It's not so much when he comes out as Captain Chaos that I die apart. One part where they land in the middle of the city and he comes out with the Dr. Peppers and he does the Dr. Pepper thing. I just start cracking the hell up.
Yeah.
Don't say his name again.
That is comedy.
Oh, man.
Every time we say his name, we start laughing.
Because in that movie, he is the comic relief in the movie, but he's the comic relief, but he's still one of the main guys in the movie, and then he's got this flip personality that just goes crazy.
That's the part I forgot to mention that Cannonball Run had that every guy loves. You know, it had the chicks in it and it had the fighting.
and the card and the brawls was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean
it's Dom DeLuise, and then Adrian, what's his name, Adrian?
My boy.
You know, her and the guard in the Ferrari, that every time they get pulled, they just, I'll handle this. It just pulls down the zipper.
And
the last
one
is Candy Clark, and they're like, oh, yes, officer. my number
good.
Two is another Burt Reynolds movie, Smokey and the Bandit. It's got to be, because you're absolutely right. That 7-year-old kid in me, when you saw that black Trans Am coming off the back of the truck, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you see that thing ripping and racing across the southern states. It's like, I want to be that guy. I just want to be in the car with a girl and a CB just ripping and racing around the roads. And it was, and you're right, that was the car to have if you got Hot Wheels. That was the car to have. But then you're like, no. I need the matchstick, the bigger body car.
Exactly.
And that car is so much ingrained in my brain that a couple of months ago I was going through the channels, and there's some show that comes on where these guys, they renovate cars, and the challenge was to renovate a 77 black Pontiac Trans Am. All right, and the guy had like 36 hours to get it done, but the trick of it was that, like, it was like he would give him $10,000 if he A, got him a replica of that black Trans Am, but B, had Burt Reynolds' signature on it some kind of way. So the guy that owns the body shop, he actually took the car to Burt Reynolds' house and had Burt Reynolds sign the peanut butter interior on the passenger and driver's side chairs.
Wow.
And then he had to take the car, so he couldn't tow it. So he drove the car. I think he was going from from Atlanta to Miami, something like that. So he got dressed up as Burt Reynolds, and he took the trip in the car as the bandit.
Wow.
I never watched the show. I never watched the show, but I watched it that night because of that car.
That is crazy.
It really
How
was,
cool
but
is
I watched
that?
It that night for that car. But my number one movie, it is The Fast and Furious, but it's only the first one. Because only the first one, well, the first and second, but the first two, really the story is about the cars. And I'm putting the first one above the second one because it's the first time we're seeing it where – I mean, we all seen movies where you see, you know, tricked out cars, but these cars are going underneath tractor trailers. They're doing trips, but you're seeing how people put these cars together, these racing cars. No, the
import
first one,
Yeah, the import tuners. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so I'm putting only the first the Fast and the Furious. Not two. Two was pretty good too. But, you know, four and five, because four and five started to gear away more from the cars to a storyline, where in the first one, even the second one, started gearing more towards the storyline, and the cars just enhanced it. But the first one is strictly about the cars.
And
so that, me, only the first one deserves to be on the list of best car movies, the first one.
I do feel 100% what Ralph is saying, because that in that aspect of it he is correct. Even though they did keep the continuity of showing how they built them later on in the films, what I liked about the films from the first one up until the later ones, like even Tokyo Drift. Don't get me wrong, I like Tokyo Drift, but it is the weaker film of the series. It's the bad one of the series, and it's only because of the dude that's playing the main character. That's the only reason why.
He sucks. Lucas Black sucks.
Probably would have been better. Oh, and don't forget Bow Wow was in this one. Anyway, like I was saying,
I feel bad because he was the only big. Now he was obviously in that particular film, one of the biggest names in that particular one, and he was the only one out of all these other films. They took like one person from each film and they didn't bring him back. It was like every film, one of the characters from each of the films made it back in the cast.
The reason why they brought the the Japanese guy back was because of the continuities they were building, because they need to tie back. They need to tie them all in, because technically speaking, even though the, I forgot the director's name, even though he didn't direct that one, it was still elements of it, and because they put Dom in it at the end,
after
Chase got killed, that's what made it tie in to the rest of the film. So they had to go back, and that's what I liked about the series, the fact that when they went forward with it, it was almost like we're looking at the pre-story of what happened with Tokyo Drift. Tokyo Drift is like kind of sort of the side story, but it's the side story that happened in the future. And so this, up until the new movie, it's all kind of sort of in the past. It's not actually present tense, so to speak. The way they tied it all together. And to go back on the thing that Ralph was saying about the cars, what I like about the series is how they progressed with the cars. They went from, you know, they went from sports tuners and the illegal street racing and the race wars and all of that stuff. And then they started working their way up. Like, by the time they got to Fast 2, and then Fast and Furious 2, and then, or 2 Fast 2 Furious, excuse me. And then they got to Fast and Furious 3. 3 or was it 4? 4.
Mm.
Started getting into the, they started progressing with the cars. Like, they went from supercars, like the people who were putting like 100,000, 200,000 into these Toyota Supras and the Spiders, and I forgot the one that Paul Walker was driving, and the WRX, I think that Subaru, and that other Mitsubishi that everybody puts money into.
That car. I like the car from the second movie, that Nissan Skyline. They don't even make that anymore. That car was the shit.
And when you put money into those cars, especially you put the dual turbochargers and all that crap into it, those cars move. But I like the progression to it, because now once you started getting towards Fast 5 and all the rest of them, now they're going into exotic cars. And with Furious 7, when they pulled up, and I think they went to Abu Dhabi, when they pulled up in front of that hotel, I started to pee on myself. Because it was like close to $1 billion worth of cars they had lined up, and I think it was only like 6 of them. There's only like 6 of them in the world. It was just so much car candy in this film that it was disgusting. It just didn't make any sense. You want to smack somebody, because it's like that's the closest you ever. Just like Need for Speed, that's another one. I forgot about that movie. Oh, that's another
Need for
one.
Speed.
See, yeah. I haven't seen it. I heard it wasn't
you
so great.
Seen that?
No, because people tell me that it's like a.
It was better than the first Fast and the Furious. As a matter of fact, I'd say Need for Speed can go toe to toe with the whole series by itself.
Really?
Yo. First of all, just the cars in Need for Speed alone, they're all exotic, and that Mustang. Oh my God, yo! Need for Speed was just awesome. The whole race, the way they did it, going cross country to California, it was just sick. From New York to California, it was just crazy. It was just crazy. The movie was good. I'm surprised you didn't see that.
No, because it came out so quickly. But when I was thinking about going to see people saying, "Oh man, it's like a Fast and Furious ripoff," then I was hearing that it's more like a Cannonball Run ripoff. And I was like, "But it's not a comedy, right? It's a drama."
It's not a comedy. Whoever told you it was a ripoff? Don't know nothing about movies, because it was not a Cannonball Run ripoff. It was nowhere near Cannonball. I could see where
Need for Speed is from a video game. That's made originally concept from the video game.
Exactly. That's where it comes from originally. Now, what I can say, if they want to make a correlation between that and Cannonball Run, the only correlation is between that and Cannonball Run is the trip. Like Cannonball, I forgot where Cannonball Run was from too, you know, what their from two destinations were. But like this one was from New York to California.
Yeah, exactly. It was from Jersey. It was from Jersey to California, to Los Angeles.
California. Yeah.
Oh, Cannonball Run was the same thing?
Yeah, it was the same thing. Yeah. The other one was the reverse. The other one was from California back to New York.
Oh, okay. Well, with this one, It was the same thing, but the only that was the only thing that was the same about it. Everything else was it just totally from the video game, kind of sorta. And like I said, and the cars, like the California Rangers, right. That movie was really on. Like the stuff in New York and all of that stuff was good. The cross country stuff was good, especially when they went to like Philadelphia and all the other stuff. That was really good. But when they got to California, that's when it was sick. That's when it was crazy. That's when it was so bananas. And like I said, the cars that they were driving, they were driving the most exotic cars in there. And like I said, that new Mustang, sick.
Yeah, well, I tell you, man.
I got one more honorable mention. The, God, it just slipped my mind just that quick. What's the Hauer? Come on, y'all, help me.
The Hitcher?
The Hitcher, yeah.
The Hitcher?
Yes.
The Hitcher. Not a car movie, though. I know he was driving a car.
No. He wasn't just driving a car.
He was delivering a car.
But 80% of the stuff that was going on with the cars.
Yeah, he did stalk him down with the car. I could go with that one. He was stalking him with the car.
Yeah, I mean the car was literally his weapon, and then he took the trucks and tied that shit to the truck. That was just
that was wrong.
That was just so bad.
That was way wrong.
That was so wrong. That was a great movie though.
It was. The remake sucked. Movie. The remake sucked. Yeah, but the original was classic.
The remake was just. They picked the right person to play his character. They definitely picked the right person to play his character, but the script was just totally wrong. Like these new writers nowadays, they suck. Excuse my language, but they suck ass. They do not know how to put a movie together. Like 50 Shades of Grey, another example of they don't know how to write. Anyway, I'm not even. We're talking about cars. We're not talking about writers. I'm just gonna stop.
Yeah,
I would have to give an honorable mention to Drive with Tom Hardy. I mean, the whole movie is him driving around in this damn car.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about what was that other movie that had? What about New Jersey Drive? Remember that movie?
I ain't see that crap.
That was New Jersey Drive?
Hell, why would I see a movie about carjacking? No, damn.
Why wouldn't you?
Why not?
Because I used to live in East Orange, New Jersey. I didn't have to see a movie about it. All I had to do was walk down the street.
Yeah. When you're walking down the street, now it's just regular for you. So anybody else is just like, wow. It's like, oh, another carjacking? Yeah, okay.
Why would I want to see a movie about carjacking? Why not? Oh man, that's funny.
Hell, I remember the first time I was in Newark one night, and I was going to work, and this was the first time I had ever seen. I was going down Broadway Market. I made a right, and I was coming down this back road right to get off the main street. It was the first time I ever actually seen a car chase like out in the movie, like that was in the movie scene. This guy was driving this BMW. And he was racing down the street, making hairpin turns, trying to outwit the cop. He fishtailed in the middle of the street and went up a one-way street to get away from the cops. It was like the first time I had ever seen that in real life. I mean, I've seen it all the time in the movies. This is the first time I actually legitimately saw it in real life. And I was like, wow. I just sat there in the car like, wow. I just saw it. Were they shooting or something? Were they doing the movie? It was like, wow.
Maybe you won't watch New Jersey Drive.
maybe that's what he was filming it at. Maybe.
Oh man, we're gonna take a call. We're gonna bring Joseph Tanner in. He has his top five cars. We bring in Tanner. You're on the line. The Real Talk.
Thank you, Real Talk cast. Yes. Well, one of them is one you already. Y'all were talking about a minute ago, Smoking the Bandit, not just because of the black Trans Am, but the big truck that Jerry Reed's character
Yeah.
Trying to think his character's name, but can't remember it right now. But he's called the Snowman. It's the truck that he and his hound dog Fred were in.
I used to love that.
At night, he's saying, "Fred, I hope you and me haven't let the bandit talk us into something we're gonna be sorry for, son, because he's just about as crazy as you are ugly."
That was what was that character's name? Was it Cletus?
Cletus,
yeah. Cletus,
Cletus.
I gotta give it up to Jackie Gleason because him in that movie.
Sheriff Bufetee.
Oh
Justice.
My God, he cracked you up.
There's no way that you could come from my loins. First thing we do when we get home is I'm gonna punch your mother in the mouth.
Yeah, even.
Where you at, you some bitch?
another one is one.
Justice. It'll get
another one. My other four is one of Dick Van Dyke's musical Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, you better go, man. Yeah.
Wow, that's
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah, that's a car movie.
The two Transporter movies, which I have.
That's true.
Transporter
and
movies.
Finally, last but not least, the one with the Dan Aykroyd and the late, great John Belushi,
the Blues
Brothers. Because the car they were driving in was a police car.
Yes.
In fact, he even says it when he gets out. What's this? What? This car. This stupid car. Where's the Cadillac? The Caddy, man. I traded it. Traded the Bluesmobile for this? No, for a microphone. Oh. And told him that he got this from an auctioneer. It was a police car saying, "Well, thank you, pal. The day I get out of the prison, my own brother picks me up in a police car."
Police car, yeah.
Saying that he doesn't like it, but then he shows him what it can do, which is leap over a bridge rising up in Chicago. And says, "It's got a little motor," and saying that it runs on regular gas. Is it the new Bluesmobile or what? And he says, fix the cigarette lighter. But not only that, it also drives through the mall, a local mall, when they're being chased by the police when he gets his license suspended and falsify his renewal. He also drives straight at a group of Nazis driving them off a bridge.
Awesome. that movie, yeah, let me tell you, I love the Blues Brothers, man. It was good to see them reprise that, well, not them reprise it, but they paid homage to it during the 40th anniversary of SNL. That was very cool.
Yeah.
That Dan Aykroyd and it was James Belushi who came out. And they did a little homage to that during the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Thought that was very nice, very good thing.
Also, one more thing before your show goes off. Hope you all had a great Happy Easter yesterday. I have five lists of Easter films.
How do you come up with these Easter films?
Look, yeah, Easter good. Films.
I find them on the internet. Anyway, first one, Ben-Hur. That's the one with the chariot race.
Okay.
Yep. A musical one called Jesus Christ Superstar.
I remember that, yeah.
The Easter Bunny is coming to town.
The Easter Bunny is coming to town.
Yes.
Wow, I never heard of that one.
That's the one where they have the Easter Bunny driving a train named Chugs. Yeah, I know it sounds kind of silly, but that's the one I chose. The Ten Commandments, and finally, the one I also have in my collection. You may not remember it, but it's the Gene Wilder musical, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Why is that an Easter movie?
Well, because he mentions the geese that lay the golden egg, saying they're working overtime for Easter, and the kid says, but Easter's over. He says, they don't know that. I'm trying to get ahead for next year. Because
wow.
The giant golden chocolate eggs. And these giant-sized geese lay.
Yeah. I get what you said. You cracked me up with these lists.
It's the fact that the kids, who are kind of stingy, including the spoiled brat, Veruca Salt, end up disappearing, and the only one who ends up winning is Charlie Bucket. This poor kid whose family's also poor. Who were the last ones to get a golden ticket after the Cuban one counterfeits a golden ticket. That's crazy.
Well, wow, that's
He's always chatting with these lists, man. He's like, I love it, man. He comes with some funny stuff, man. But he always keeps it going with the list. He said the list. Last time we talked, he talked about Easter films. And I was like, how do you come up with 10? That's 10 Easter films he done came up with. How do you come up with that? I don't know. And we lost him here, too. What the heck happened to him? But anyway, I'm sure he'll call back. But either way, we're at the end of the show anyway. Thanks again for calling, as usual, Tanner, and supporting the show. Good list. I liked his car list. The Transporter movies, I forgot about that. That was a good show.
I completely forgot about those.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So, we're down to the end of the show again. Isn't that interesting? We'll be back again next week, going on strong. Like I said, next week I'm going to finally play some of the stuff that we did from the Last Dragon thing. I was just so sick this whole week, man. I wasn't able to do a lot of editing on the show, but I've started it. I just got to finish it up, and we'll recap some of that.
Sidebar. This weekend, coming up, people, we got on Netflix Friday, the Daredevil series is being released.
It's Friday.
This Friday.
Oh,
this
nice. Oh, yes. Finally, I got something to binge off of. This Friday. The Daredevil release, that series, the new series on Netflix. Netflix is just doing it. Marvel is doing it. I tell you, man. Another thing I think before we go, you guys should, recommendation, you guys get out and see the film. It's on DVD or whatever, but it's an animated film from DC. It's called Batman vs. Robin. And it's a DC Warner Brothers animation film. Now, that's the one category that they always dominate. They always dominate Marvel. DC dominate the animated films and the animated stuff. So Really good, really good stuff, though. The Batman vs. Robin. It's basically a part two to the, it's a sequel to the Son of Batman. It was a, they had an animated movie called Son of the Batman, which was focused around Batman's son that he didn't know he had. With he actually had a son with Ra's al Ghul's daughter, and the son was raised by the freaking League of Shadows. He was raised by Ra's al Ghul and League of Shadows. Really cool storyline they had going. And then all of a sudden, when I think it was Deathstroke basically waged war against Ra's al Ghul, and it attacked him and his team, attacked the whole League of Shadows. The girl was forced to son to Batman. He found out he had a son. And then he actually made his new Robin. And so this is like the sequel to that. It's called Batman vs. Robin because they don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. He's still a young kid. He's like 10, 11 years old. But, you know, he's way beyond his years because he's so advanced in killing and stuff like that and in combat. So he's a little more beyond his years. And plus, these storylines they come with are really cool. They really got some good substance to them. And I'm like, they should be having these writers write their live-action stuff because it really shows, like, how Batman truly, you know, with himself. Like, Bruce Wayne, if you dropped the kid on him, he wouldn't be able to raise a kid. You know, even though he's rich and all that other stuff, but he doesn't have he don't have that emotional, you know, that you need to raise a kid. Like, you know, even in the movie, you see he's trying to be there for this kid, but he's not. You know, they just can't. They really know how to. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's pretty cool. It's really cool. I would suggest you go get that out. It's on DVD, of course, and it's called Batman vs. Robin.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. If you watch all of those DC animated films, from the Marvel films to the Justice League movie films, these films got some great substance to them. The writing on these films are awesome. And like I said, they need to get those writers on the live-action stuff. Because these writers, they know what they're doing, man, I'll tell you. And, yeah. Well, we got some good stuff to coming up, man. But I can't wait to, you know, we all can't wait to freaking May 1st.
So, yeah, man, the Avengers.
Such a cool,
man, you better say April 29th for me.
Oh,
April,
yeah, you
29th
doing
marathon.
Yeah.
They do it on April 29th?
Yeah, the marathon
is the 29th.
The marathon starts on the 29th at 6 o'clock, and it goes all the way until till Thursday at, you know, up until the Age of Ultron screens at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
I still say you're crazy, man. You're crazy.
That's,
you could do the same
thing. So it starts Wednesday night at 6 p.m., and it goes all the way through Thursday at 10 p.m.?
Yep.
Wow, that's more than 24 hours.
I think Age of Ultron plays at 7 o'clock, either 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Age of Ultron plays. So, it, you know, the movie's probably about 2 hours, so you figure it's going to end about 10:30. So from 6
to
10:30.
But you're going to be at the movies 24 hours before Age of Ultron even comes.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
A lot of no-dos, a lot of Coca-Cola.
Man. Like I said,
I still think
you're
crazy. I'm sorry, man. I think you're crazy.
one
or two movies I could see, but how many is it? It's like nine? No, three Ironmans, the Hulk.
It's 12 movies altogether.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
And not only that, but you can take a break during Iron Man 3. That's when I'd sleep.
That's probably going to be my 2 hour cat. That's going to be my power nap when Iron Man 3 comes on. That's going to be my power nap until the last 10 minutes. I'm going to set my alarm to wake me up in the last 10 minutes of Iron Man when all the Iron Mans come to attack the thing. That's the only good part of the movie.
The worst part about it is they, I guess they probably purposely didn't do that, but the worst part about it is they didn't even have this marathon at one of the reclining theater seats, theaters.
Yeah, a seat is probably going to get broken because I'm going to push that shit back as far as I can get it.
Are they going to show the Hulk with his name?
They're going to show the Hulk with Banner. What is his name?
I know you're talking with Ed Norton.
Yeah, Ed Norton. They're going to show the other Hulk version, and it no longer counts, right? The one with Eric Banner.
Remember, this one was actually part of the Avenger initiative. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The other one was outside of that. It was made before they started doing these movies. So all of these movies got those connecting, after the credit scenes and stuff. So that's why it just has to go in. And I really did want Edward Norton to be in it, but I like Mark Ruffalo. I think he's a good Batman. He reminds me of Bill Bixby. He really does. Like the way he carries himself. I bet you he watched a lot of Bill Bixby.
Yeah, he did. That was his whole basis. I think that's why he got mad about the way he, because that's why they rewrote it. When they did that rewrite, that was his biggest thing about the rewrite. I think he was trying to write it more in that direction. It's just so sad that he couldn't keep going with that, man, because he was a good Hulk, and I love Mark Ruffalo. Don't get me wrong. I love Mark Ruffalo.
I also felt like Norton did really good with the Bill Bixby as far as the way they did that. But what I said is Mark Ruffalo actually reminds me of Bill Bixby a little bit. The way they dress him and the way he wore. I'm talking about the one they got, Mark Ruffalo. The way they dress him and stuff with his, the way he had on, he almost dresses old school. Like the way he dresses, They almost dress him like something out of the 70s. You know what I mean? Or 80s. You know, I'm like, he kind of reminds me of Bill Bixby.
Well, he's basically a gypsy, and if you keep tearing up your clothes, you'll be shopping on the Walmart racks too. You know what I'm saying? After ripping up about $5 or $6 $80 pair of jeans, you definitely going to get that $5 out of rack.
That's true. I saw this thing online. I gotta order this shirt before the movie starts. I gotta wear it to the movie. It's a Hulk shirt, and it says I'm always angry.
Yeah.
And it has that shit. Look hot. I saw that online.
I want that shirt. I'd wear that shirt in a heartbeat. I wear that shirt tomorrow. I'm always angry.
You stupid, right?
I wear that to work. Yo, I'm always angry. Don't talk to me.
You wear. You see how they treat black Walmart employees? You mess around and be in the seasonal aisle. You might get shot up.
I almost had to do that on Friday. I almost had to smack this kid up on Friday. Yo, dude, he want to argue with me about a fishing license because he doesn't have what he needs to get a license, and I'm very calmly explaining to him. He was like. He starts cursing me. I was like, hold up. First and foremost, don't curse at me. That's first and foremost. How? So he says, well, I don't have a driver's license. But he shows me all these different credit cards, right? Because you have to have a photo ID to get a license.
Right.
Any license in New Jersey, actually. He shows me all these credit cards. None of the credit cards has a picture on it. He was like, well, who's got a credit card with their picture on it? I was like, I do. But this is the thing that, as my man said, you're fucked up. You sit there and tell me, say, I got our own business. He has a T-shirt on that says that he has a truck towing business. So I'm like, wait a minute. You own a truck towing business. He's like, yeah. And you don't have a driver's license? And how are you towing somebody's car?
Uh-oh.
Isn't having a license a requirement to drive a truck? And you tell me you don't have one?
Yeah, look at Ralph keeping the story in theme with the show.
Oh, dear, I didn't even think about that one.
driving a car thing. So
I didn't even think about that part, but come on, man.
I'm going to end the show.
Yeah, that's crazy. You're towing, but you ain't got no license.
Exactly.
See?
So
wow,
he wanted to get all big and bad. He's like, well, I need to speak to the manager. I was like, okay, the manager wants to do it. They could do it. So he said, yeah, the manager going to do it. Manager came around there. He said, well, the man told you, you need a valid former ID, and you don't have any. So we can do for you right now. So the guy
you know, you should have did, Ralph. What you should have did, Ralph, you should have went in the back and came back in your Captain Chaos beautiful.
It's just sort of get out his ass like bring on the license.
Oh man,
that's what I'm talking about. Anyhow, we gotta end the show here.
I'm done.
We'll be back next week with the
drop
next
the
topic.
Mic, I'm done. Drop the mic.
Oh, really?
Drop the mic, I'm done.
That is funny. For the Jedi Council and for everybody, thanks for calling. Thanks, Tanner, and thanks to everybody else that listened, supporters out there, chimed in, tweeted in. And look for us next week when we come back for you. Keep it real again. Nothing but the real here on Real Talk. And once again, for Jedi Council, for Blog Talk Radio, thanks for no errors, and Dollhouse Radio, we'll see you next week. You can love us, you can hate us, don't forget about us. See you next week.
Peace. My own.